Well, I said last night about Paul not writing Hebrews and being the rebel I am, I thought I'd just start there. No, seriously, I heard Dan teach on Hebrews a couple of times in the past recently, and he makes a good point. You know, Paul, every letter in his epistles starts with what? Paul. Hebrews starts with what? God. So that's who wrote Hebrews. And that wasn't original me. I got that from Dan. And so Hebrew, and by the way, isn't really part of the message, but we need to be careful that we always make people understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We in no, by any means, diminish Scripture. Genesis to Revelation, every word is the Word of God. They're just not all written directly to us. And Paul is our apostle, and he wrote 13 books. He did not write Hebrews. God did. And so in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, excuse me. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that one of the things that the denominational and religious system of this world has done is to diminish the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do that by putting the focus on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, following Jesus Christ after the flesh. And it's not hard to find people that talk about Jesus and God and all those kind of things. And of course, when we preach the gospel of Christ, we just assume that people know that Jesus Christ died on a cross. But folks, the preaching of the cross is offensive. To talk about the Son of God stepping out of heaven's glory, taking upon him the form of a man, as Philippians 2:8 says, he was found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So over and over again, it's emphasized that not only did he die, but he died the most despicable death that was known at that time. And that was by crucifixion. And it says right here that Jesus Christ himself endured the cross. He did not enjoy it. He prayed in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And by the way, when he was praying that in agony and sweat great drops of blood, what were his disciples doing? They were sleeping. And people today are asleep as far as the truth of the cross. The Bible says he despised the shame and he endured the cross and now he's sat down at the right hand of God. So the next verses I give you, the next 10 verses I'm going to go over. I'm not going to ask you to turn there because they're waiting on us for lunch. And you're waiting on them for lunch. And so I just want to go over some verses. There's 10 times in your King James Bible that Paul mentions the cross. Philippians 2:8, I mentioned a moment ago, being found in fashion as a man. Jesus Christ became a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. He surrendered to that death. Even, and he goes on to say, even the death of the cross. It would be one thing for him to die. It was altogether another thing for him to die the death of a criminal. Two men hanging on each side, him in the middle, and he died the death of the cross. And the reason he did that is found in Ephesians 2:16. The Bible says that he might reconcile both unto God, both those that first trusted in Christ, those that later trusted in Christ, Jew and Gentile, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. How did he do that? By the cross, having slain the enmity, the division that was there, by the cross. If people would focus on the cross work of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God and quit arguing over all these side issues, the enmity would go away. But men want to be prideful and they want to come up with something new and always have to give some out, you know, put something out there that nobody else has heard. And folks, the simplicity of the gospel cannot be overstated. It's simple. In Colossians 1:20, Paul says he made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He said in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's a lot that took place there at that cross, folks. That law was taken out of the way. It was nailed to the cross. And it didn't get resurrected. Now there was, he taught the disciples to keep the law, but when Paul is preaching about the cross, he's preaching it from the viewpoint that it was nailed to the cross. It has no dominion over us today, and yet people continually want to submit themselves to the law and the doctrine of the law. And so Paul, in his epistles, makes it clear that the preaching of the cross is of utmost importance. As a matter of fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So can the cross of Christ be made of none effect? Yes, it can. As a matter of fact, a man can stand up and preach the gospel and then make that of none effect by telling you, now if you want to be saved, you need to come down the aisle. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your sins. You need to be baptized. You need to keep the Lord's Supper. You need to join the church. All of that, in effect, makes the cross of Christ of none effect, because if you can add anything to it, then you've destroyed the truth of the cross. The very next verse, he says, the preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, is them that perish foolishness. It is. You get out there in the world and start talking to people about the cross, they don't want to hear about it. It's foolish in the minds of people to believe that a man could step out of heaven, and Jesus Christ could come out of heaven, become a man, and then die the most horrible death known to man, and shed his blood. They say, well, that's just foolishness. That's the gospel, folks. And it is the foolishness. He says it's to them that perish foolishness. But those which are saved, it is the power of God. People are always talking about the power, wanting to get the power, the power is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul warned the Galatians. He said in Galatians 5:11, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Why was that? He said, if I do that, then the offense of the cross has ceased. If you tell people that they have to do so much as wiggle their little finger to get saved, that destroys the offensiveness of the cross. The offense of the cross is that your sin put in there. The offense of the cross is he died for you, a no good, rotten, low down sinner that deserved death yourself, and yet you can have life by trusting in what he did at the cross. And that's offensive to people. He said over in Philippians chapter 3 verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Don't mix any words, folks. People that deny the truth of the gospel and deny, they are not only in a system that deny, they are themselves enemies of the cross. When men stand in a pulpit and preach things that diminish the truth of the cross, they're enemies of the cross. In Galatians 6:12, Paul said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. And today you can substitute baptized in there or many other things. People that want to make a fair show in the flesh. Have people coming forward so they can count them. Having people confessing their sins so they can find out what they are. Because they're nosy. Well, there's churches today that people are church members. And they miss two or three Sundays of church. And when they come back, they've got to come forward and confess what they kept them out of church. You think I'm kidding? I can show you a statement from a church. And people, if they miss three Sundays tithing, they've got to give an account. Or they're out. Well, we don't kick anybody out. We don't have to. You understand? Preaching the truth take care of that. But then the last verse, the last time Paul mentions this, not the last time in his order of his epistles, but Galatians 6:14. Wonderful verse. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's where the glorying is. We have no glorying in our flesh. We have no glorying in our ability. We have no glorying in a system, a denomination, or any such thing, or even the grace movement. The glorying is in the cross of Christ. Because our Savior went there, and the Bible said God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, the one who knew, and He, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wonderful messages on the gospel, wonderful truth been presented here. And I'll conclude with just simply saying this. If you're glorying in anything other than the cross and what Christ did for you, then you need to think about where you stand before the Lord. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you can do so right now. Why don't you do that? All right. I have been reminded for the fourth time by text, and email, and Facebook Messenger, please go down the hall.